Mad Trio Podcast. This week we have the California Pariah, Jonathan Charney, James the Fat Man Stevens.
Hello.
And the only man I know who won a Betty White lookalike contest, Ryan Preston.
That wig was pretty dope.
Yeah, let's just not talk about the B. Arthur nudes.
Oof. I'll never get that image out of my head.
So, we had a discussion last week, Ryan, and you weren't here for. And it was, how do you test for DUIs when it comes to marijuana?
I've actually heard there's a couple of different ways. I think with any intoxication, you might be able to do the eye flutter test, you know? And I mean, let's be honest. If you're, I've definitely known fucking people that got so stoned they couldn't walk straight.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're that level of fucking stoned, the thing is they're not going to be able to come up with a with any kind of a 0.08 scale.
That's, you know what I'm saying? Where there is something. Doesn't make sense.
So, legally speaking, I don't think you could. I don't think you could really do anything about it. I think it could always be fought like this guy was out of his mind, you know, like I walked a perfectly, I mean, I don't know, but they can hit you for meds that you're on, you know, like if you took a sleeping pill and you're just, you know, too fucked up to drive, they can still give you, you know, driving while impaired sort of deal.
So what we kind of found out, through a little bit of kind of looking, is that there's also a saliva swab test, and that's what they do at the checkpoints. Now, can you give me a random guess at how long these tests take to administer?
I mean, if it's not 2 seconds, I'd be really surprised.
8 minutes.
Yep.
8 minutes.
What checkpoint are you going to be sitting there at a bunch of cars being stopped, each one taking 8 minutes?
It would have to be one of these things that they just they stack people up like cordwood.
I know. Like what the hell?
You really like that
phrase, don't you?
It's a great descriptive word.
All right. It's not a word. It's a phrase.
Fuck you.
Just pointing out the
obvious. Yeah, but I mean, the thing is that I still feel like there's going to be some legal way around that. Like we're in the real infancy days. I mean, I don't know. What's Colorado been doing the last fucking 5 years?
Well, I can pull that up
I think what they're going to end up doing is it's going to be, A, it's going to be on video. So they can see, okay, how bad does this person look? You know, was this person able to stand? The issue is everybody who I know who I would actually classify as a loadie or a stoner can do shit better being stoned than they can do it sober because they've done it more stoned. At the very least,
they hold it together really fucking well. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. So that's the question.
So according to this one website that has state laws broken down in Colorado, you are under the influence of cannabis if THC is identified in the driver's blood in quantities of 5 nanograms per milliliter or higher. So they have a 0.05 nanograms.
The question I have with that is, what does that actually equate to? Can you have that over your system over a long period of time?
That's what I'm saying.
Well,
if you have
an edible
versus, you know, a joint, well, I mean, it's going to differentiate, and you could have these things days ahead.
Because my first thought is, say,
in my understanding,
you know, say if this guy ate like a Joey Coco Diaz has these stories about how he loves these THC gummy bears. Uh-huh. Like an ear will apparently get you really fucked up.
Joey Coco Diaz, by the way, folks, for those of you who don't know, all three of you. Joey Diaz is a stand up comic. Also been in a couple of movies. Looks like an Italian mobster, actually Cuban. Yeah. But he's one of the most savage fucking storytellers I've ever heard in my life.
So my question is, if you partied with, you know, with Coco Diaz, and the next day, would it still register as those 0.45 nanograms?
Nanograms.
That's the question.
Right. Okay, so I have that question, and also, does it also read when you eat... when you turn it into a different chemical, it's a different thing. So does that register. You know what I mean? Like I'd almost rather have somebody just smoked a joint 5 minutes ago than somebody who just had 1,000 milligrams of edibles, like fucking cocoa.
Yeah, I agree, but
because at some point in time that those edibles are going to really kick in.
But I mean, from my understanding, I haven't smoked weed in over a decade. THC stays in your system for a period of 30 days in urine test. What is that versus blood test? How long does it take to leave the system?
I know that if I were to fucking stop smoking weed right now, that it would take me longer than a month to get it out of my system.
That's what I'm going to bring
like,
up too.
I've been smoking for a long time, and I've heard varying estimates on as far as when you're going to pass a drug test.
Yeah.
You know, you're talking your standard work drug test or something like
okay,
that.
Okay, so there's a website, healthline.com. Granted, this is the internet, so mileage may vary. How long is it detectable via drug testing, urine testing? So according to this, occasional weed use is up to 3 weeks. Moderate use is 5 to 7 days. Chronic use daily is 10 to 15. Heavy use multiple times per day is more than 30 days. Blood testing. Weed is typically detectable in the blood up to 1 to 2 days. However, in some cases, it has been detected after 25 days of chronic heavy usage. Weed is detectable in bloodstream within seconds of inhalation. Saliva test. This is the one we were asking last week. According to a 2014 review on cannabinoids and oral fluid, weed is detectable in saliva following the amount of time after last use, occasionally 1 to 3 days, chronic use 1 to 29 days.
Okay, so this is what.
Okay,
this is
so the
point.
The thing is that depending on usage.
Yeah, but my point is that I mean, there's different concentrates of weed.
Well, here's my point: is that no, officer, I wasn't smoking that. I smoked like that morning. I just smoke all the time.
Yeah.
I didn't even smoke that day.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing that I come to is that, and so how is that going to happen? I mean, like one of the things that I had that I was laughing my butt off when it happened was after my car accident, I was in the spinal cord rehab center. I traded out.
For those of you who don't know, James blasted his back into about 400 pieces when he was like 16.
And was
in a wheelchair for quite some time.
So I traded some stuff for 7 joints. I smoked that with a buddy of mine that night. It was between 2 of us. I woke up next day with a piss test cup there, and I was laughing my ass off because they didn't piss test me when I came in, so they had no basis to go off of the THC count. I mean, if I smoked more of that, later on, then they could kick me out, but it was openly admitted that I had alcohol and THC and probably something else in my system, but they couldn't
right.
do anything about it. So, but that brings me back to the point of where's the baseline? Because it's going to be different for everybody, but I'm thinking this is the same conversation, this is what I brought up last week, that they had when they brought up, when MAD came up against DUIs, actually alcoholic DUIs, of where is the baseline that they're going to do? And in California, it's 0.08. In Texas, it's 0.1. There's other states that it's even less than that. I think Alaska, it's like 0.04 or something. It's really low. But that's mostly for the native Alaskans out there. They
Texas is 0.1 or 0.01?
0.1, I believe.
Okay, so a little higher than our 0.08.
Yeah. It has to be because didn't they used to have drive-through liquor stores?
Yeah.
Like, hey, Billy Bob, give me a six-pack.
Still get some of those around here.
Really? I'm kind of... That surprises me.
I'm sorry. 0.15.
Oh, shit. 0.15. Wow, that's like double our legal limit.
I'm actually like, or more over the...
Yeah, see, no, I'm really...
A driver testing 0.15% or more over the legal limit of 0.08. What? This is written terribly.
Oh, that's somebody who...
This is somebody who was drunk that wrote this. Let's actually see if we can find an actual thing. I'm like, what is this person talking about?
I'm super curious on how they actually do...
According to Wikipedia, it's 0.15 in Texas, so.
Yeah, 0.515. I'm curious in far as how does the saliva... Next time I run into a cop, or I'll have to actually ask my local sheriff, because I'm super curious in how exactly...
Just get in front of a police officer and hit your brakes really hard, you'll have a long conversation.
So my favorite interaction with a cop is somehow, I was tired, blah, blah, blah. I ran a red light, cop was behind me. He pulls me over and says, "Son, do you know why you're there?" I said, "Obviously I did something, officer, or else you wouldn't be at my window." The look on his face was, "What the fuck?" It's
like, yeah, I basically gave a guy the I trust your judgment one, and he was just like, okay, well, you were speeding.
I just told him, no, I would not step out of the vehicle.
That's a funny story on multiple levels.
He was pretty pissed off for a few minutes there. And I let it sit.
So, have you seen the Detective Pikachu trailer?
No, I haven't. I can't believe I scrolled past the fucking thumbnail of it, though, on YouTube.
So I posted it to
the... what the fuck is this?
I posted it to the Interesting Shit Facebook page, and it's... I like Pokemon, but a CG Pokemon is a little on the creepy side.
Actually, have you seen...
But it's Ryan Reynolds doing the voice of Pikachu, so it's basically Bloodpool as a Pokemon.
Bloodpool?
What the fuck? How the fuck are they licensing this for...
Is he just a puddle of blood on the floor?
God damn it, you know what I mean. I don't remember his name, but Ryan Reynolds is basically doing the shit.
You mean Green Lantern?
Shut up. I'm too tired.
Oh, you mean he played Deadpool?
Deadpool, yeah.
Oh.
Excuse me. I'm too tired for your shenanigans. But it's Deadpool as a Pokemon, really.
There's actually a live action Pokemon, or not really live action, it's mostly CG, but there's a Pokemon trailer of like the Pokemon World thing, and it actually looks pretty cool. I should see if I can find that for you guys.
But it's super...
My son found it on YouTube.
Not for nothing.
What was that?
Pokemon in my generation right there when that shit came out.
Yeah, but you were also a fan of, Power Rangers? Wasn't that when you were a kid?
Yeah.
I mean, Amy Jo Johnson is the only reason I watched the show. I don't know what you watched it for. You watched it for the Green Ranger, right?
It's really one of those... the Green Ranger to White Ranger fucking storyline, that was like the coolest thing on TV at the time. Don't fuck around.
JDF, Jason David Frank. No, what he really likes is the fact he thought the Yellow Ranger was cute until he realized half the actual suited scenes it was really a Japanese guy.
Hey, have some respect. She's dead.
I know, that actually really sucks. You know, the funny thing that show was hilarious. I actually still watch it now. If I'm really in a bad mood, watching fucking Power Rangers is hilarious. It's...
Oh, man, yeah. It's ridiculous. It's one of those, like, oh, I was dumb.
By the way, if you want to drink a couple of beers and watch an episode of Power Rangers, it'll be the best evening of your life, just because how over the top it is. Like those people in the
either
suits.
That or you start taking those morality tales to heart and think that you've ruined your life, you know.
I just not likely from Power Rangers because I love how those bad guys in those suits, they really sell those punches. Even like even wrestlers are like, dude, you didn't have to fly that far. It's kind of like how The Rock sold the Stone Cold Stunner. It's a little over the top.
Yeah, well, it was 22 minutes of basically a camera facing straight up at the sky and people jumping over it in various poses.
Pretty much. You got to watch the Detective Pikachu trailer. It's very creepy.
I definitely will. I can't believe that Ryan Reynolds is involved in that, and I'm curious on what fucking Pokemon is licensing their shit to now.
Dude, it's...
Crackheads.
It's quite amazing. I do want to mention on a sadder note that Stan Lee passed away.
Yeah
that's the I mean.
But he died at 95. That is one hell
that's
of a
the thing,
that's
man.
What
I was
I'm saying.
I was just
I mean,
gonna say. I mean, like everything he did was just fucking. Like I can't believe we had to get we got Stan Lee for that long. You know, that's awesome.
No,
you know, the fact that he was still out there in the world, you know, at freaking 92 doing all these appearances and still doing cameos and shit. But no, not to mention the guy who created comic books, basically.
My one question about that is, did he need the money or did he do it because he wanted to? Because was it like...
I think he legit was a fan his entire fucking life.
Well, I hope so. Like Ed McMahon, for example, the last years of his life, the dude was broke, didn't have any money. People gave him money. And it's just like, that would suck. Like, at that age, you would have to do, you know, schlep yourself to every comic book convention in the United States. You know, it's like Virgil from the WWE. You always see him at conventions because the dude's broke and nobody wants him anymore.
Yeah.
So I hope the guy was a fan because I liked most of his comic books. I mean, there's like the Fantastic Four I can give or take, but most of his stuff I really enjoyed. I think the thing he's going to be known for the most, and I honestly believe this, was the X-Men. You know how the racism was really talked through in the medium of the comic book. And how you not only had the normal people, the humans, but you had Charles Xavier and then Magneto, who were loosely based on Malcolm X and Martin Luther King. So I love the fact that he was able to use the comic books for a really high level conversation.
Well, I mean that was his whole. I mean, he created the comic book code. You know, or not necessarily the comic book code. That was a slightly different thing. He was the one who basically said, like, hey, look, like every comic is somebody's first comic, and always gave you the backstory, always gave you kind of the, hey, this is what happened until now. Like, by the way, if you didn't know, this guy was bitten by a radioactive spider.
I wish, however, every movie they do, they didn't have to reboot the, oh, here's Spider-Man getting bitten. Here's Spider-Man the day after. Everybody knows how Spider-Man got his powers. At this point, everybody knows how Bruce Wayne got his powers.
Mean his parents dying and exactly. Leaving him a bunch of money?
Exactly. Everybody knows how the Hulk... I don't think there's one superhero, except maybe Booster Gold, that nobody knows about at this point. Or the Blue Beetle, since they're both kind of obscure characters.
Actually, the Blue Beetle and Booster Gold did become more famous when they started doing, like, Justice League Unlimited and things like that. But, I mean, that just kind of...
Blue Beetle, isn't that Teen Titans?
Well, Blue Beetle's an actual old-school comic book. So yeah, there's
really old.
There's the backstory I know of is... And I don't know how true this is to the original... is a guy found this scarab, couldn't get it to work, basically invented a bunch of stuff to become the Blue Beetle. He died, and somebody else somehow got the scarab to work and became this new mecha Blue Beetles, to heavily paraphrase the story.
Yep, that's the kid from Teen Titans.
Beast Boy?
Oh, talk about that. Have you seen the trailer for the live-action Teen Titans?
I did.
I have not.
I'm not sure. I don't know what channel it's on. But I'm not sure if I'm going to like it or not. But I'm willing to invest an episode or two into it, you know, to see what I think.
It's on a channel.
Well, I don't know if is it a YouTube thing. I don't know if it's a CW thing. My first thought was CW because they do all the comic book stuff. I don't know. I just saw the trailers. I have no idea where it's actually being, you know, shown at.
I didn't really look into it too much. I mean, I saw the thing. I just wasn't really, like, blown away.
I'd definitely be interested in doing a Teen Titans thing. I mean, it's interesting to see all of these things sort of with actors and all of that. It's a different medium, you know, that we're used to. We always thought it was just going to be on the page until they made the comics. And then they made the comics. We always thought it was going to be cartoons until all this shit happened, you know, so.
Yeah.
The only problem with live action is... it's always disappointing. It's like James and I had a conversation 20 years ago when you first heard about Lord of the Rings coming out. And James's comment was basically, it'll never be as good as when I read it when I was 5 or 12 or whatever.
12.
And so I do partially agree is the fact
you're never going to compete with it. As I said, what I said is you're never going to compete with a 12-year-old's imagination. That's really what I came back to is that, you know, I mean, the movies to me, the Lord of the Rings are disappointing because of the imagination I had at that age that I was using as I was reading the books. So,
yeah.
But, you know, I mean, now how long have the movies been out? Like 15, 20 years now. You know, I mean, they're okay, but they're still not how I envisioned it as a kid.
They do, however, age really well. Minus The Hobbit. That aged like milk day one.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, no, I think that they went above and beyond the Call of Duty for that movie.
They put a lot of effort.
I mean, obviously the scope of it, but it was incredible. You know, I still own the fucking extended edition of all three.
I have the extended editions,
and I still watch them like once a year.
I would love to. However, having a 2-year-old, I don't have that much time. Talk about that, the guy who directed it. I really want to see Peter Jackson's World War One. I think we talked about last weekend, but the more I see about it, the more I totally want to see it.
Okay, now, I'm really thinking, as far as I've been concerned, World War One is a war that they really haven't done a good movie of, except for All Quiet on the Western Front.
And yeah,
that's
much.
Not even a really good movie. They did, what was the stupid horse one that came out recently? War Horse? Is that it? I think it was War Horse.
Yeah,
was the one where it was like this horse.
Was that the one that was like Black Beauty where they just followed the fucking horse?
Yes. That was excruciatingly torture.
See, I want to see World War One because it was a really weird point in history. I don't think, as far as I understand, there's really any point quite like that. I mean, because they had Hiram Maxim, if you don't know, is the inventor pretty much of the machine gun, and actually got it to work. More or less, it got sold to every side. So that's the first time in history you had something with that type of reciprocal fire rate. Plus the fact at that point there was cavalry, and then you had tanks.
Yeah, well, you had pretty bad tanks.
Well, they were still tanks. They were mechanized vehicles.
Yeah.
You were still better being
mechanized war vehicles.
And for people that don't know, those was also back when they were using, you know,
horses.
Not horses, but, you know, agents.
Because there were horses in World War
II. Horses in World War II that were used quite often. But they were also didn't really have any ban or standard against, I'm pretty sure bayonets were still on the battlefield, weren't they?
Bayonets in World War I? So what it is, bayonets were legal in World War II and other ones. The difference is there was a design standard.
Oh, yeah.
If you take a look, for example, at the Mosin-Nagant bayonet, it's triangle. What it is triangle wounds are really hard to heal.
Yeah, and
versus like a straight one of a standard knife, it's a lot easier to heal, a lot easier to stitch. So the Geneva Convention really kind of defined the rules of war.
And they also said no chemical agents, which is something else that they did. But and Ryan, interestingly enough, had a conversation about Cyclone B, 3 weeks ago?
Yeah, something like that.
Anyways, but that was another one that was out there in World War One as well. It was in its early stages, but that's something that they said Hitler didn't get injured by Zyklon B. They claim it was mustard gas, which is similar.
Well, I don't know if I think that Fritz Hopper, the guy who invented he invented Zyklon A, which was used as a pesticide or was being looked into as a pesticide, but I believe he was still working with the German government during World War One, inventing mustard gas. You know, he was one of those guys and all of that. And then Zyklon B was what they used to gas all the Jews, basically.
They tried a few different things. They even tried exhaust fumes at some point. There was shown that they actually tried that in the early stages of their Final Solution. But that's something that also was in World War One that really wasn't, you know, I mean, there was a lot of different components of World War One that never really got explored because
of
how
new shit that got figured out and in World War One. Yeah. There's way too many new fucking bits of technology that was like, hey, let's see what this can do in war.
Yeah.
Most of it was a bad idea.
Yeah. Well, that was one of the reasons why they call it the war to end all wars, because it was a horrible war. War is always horrible, but this was a war when they were trying shit that's never been tried before, and it was just disgusting. It was a nasty war.
It really was, and a lot of people don't really understand, but, I mean, the trench warfare God, that must have been that's the scariest shit of all time. Shitty thing. Maybe people don't really remember this, but there was shotguns that were used, and I knew about this before it became popular in the whatever the gun shows. Call of Duty. Well, the Call of Duty, and they also brought it up in gun shows, is that there was a shotgun that they found out that you didn't really have to do anything to really continue it to fire except for rack another round.
So
it was a trench cleaner.
So pretty much
because they jump in a trench and they just let it fly.
So basically what he's talking about is you pull down the trigger and you would just pump, and every time you pump it would fire around.
Yeah.
So there's a list here.
That's a really cool shotgun, and it still does exist.
You can find them. So some of the gases used, and my apologies in World War One is I'm not going to be able to pronounce them all. It's xylol, bromide, chlorine, phosgene, benzyl bromide, chloromethyl, chloroformate. There's a ton. Go to Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Go and type in what is this called?
I don't know. Hold on. You're the one that looked it up.
So go to chemical weapons in World War One on Wikipedia. There's an amazing list of gases that were used. I mean, chlorine gas, phosgene. It's an amazing amount of stuff that we did to people. And most of the stuff was
both sides.
Yeah, that, most of
that's
the other
thing. It wasn't just one side. It was, oh, you have that one? Here, we'll do this one. And they said, oh, wait, we have that one too. We'll switch.
Estimated gas casualties of World War I. Russia, fatal was 56,000. Non-fatal was 490,340. Germany was
9,000.
Fatal for Germany, according to this, was 9,000. It was 200,000 non-fatal. France.
Adolf Hitler was one of them.
France is 8,000 fatal, 190,000 non-fatal. British Empire, including Canada, was 8,109. By the way, these are all individual people.
Yeah.
Which is one of the problems with numbers when you talk about wars. At this point, it's a number. You have to realize it was a solar
takes away the human.
The human factor. Mm-hmm. 188,706 non-fatal. Austria-Hungary, 3,000 fatal, 100,000 non-fatal. United States, 1,462 fatal, 72,000 non-fatal. Italy is 4,627 fatal, 60,000 non-fatal. Total people, 90,198 fatal, 1,230,853 non-fatal. By the way, non-fatal, a lot of the time, they were maimed for life.
Yeah, non-fatal at times was worse than dying.
Because of the damage it did. Possibly passing some fucking crazy shit down to your kids.
Yeah, this is stuff that left people maimed, disfigured,
burned,
their lungs were damaged.
Yeah, every kind of fucking cancer you can possibly imagine, probably, you know.
And then one of the things they claim with Adolf Hitler, there's actually been psychiatrists that have looked into him. There was also brain damage that happened to Hitler. That they claim that there was a lot of different diagnoses that they've come out of what they know from history about him, that they claim that that he was basically permafried from they claim mustard gas is what it was. But there was so much that John's just saying is there was so much gas on the battlefield that you don't really know if it was a mix of one or the other, both, five different ones. You don't really know.
Now, I have read, I don't know if this is 100% true because I haven't read it in multiple sources, but in Great Britain, when war started, they were handing out gas masks and there would be people with some sort of a rattle. You know, you'd hear it and you're supposed to put on your gas mask because they weren't sure if that's what Hitler was going to do, because in World War One, that was used a lot.
One of my favorite episodes of Doctor Who, the newest one, is the mask boy or whatever it is, the kid that goes around are you my mummy? And the thing is that it was during the Blitzkrieg in England, and this kid put this mask on, but he also got infected with these nanites-type things that made the mask fuse to him because it was trying to protect him, and it ended up that he would turn other people into looking like him, and it was just like this thing. But that's what they were kind of doing. It was set in that time period of when they were passing out child-sized masks to everybody and adults. And
so
Yeah.
There is something that we haven't mentioned. Matter of fact, very few people that I've heard, minus some high-level History Channel stuff, talk about it, and some other people, is the problem with gas warfare is a lot of times it lingers in the atmosphere. So it also had a tendency to blow back when you get
the wind the wrong direction.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what I was actually going to say is, you know, if the wind shifted, it would go back on the people who launched it. This is one of the reasons the Geneva Convention exists, is try to limit what
casualties.
Yeah. Well, not limit...
innocent bystanders.
Yeah. Not necessarily limit casualties, but limit what we can do to each other. Like, I guess, limit... would casualties count when you talk about people who are permanently injured?
Yeah.
Okay. Then, yeah.
Casualty count.
Limit the amount of people who are permanently maimed.
Well, I mean, you can also look at what we did in Nagasaki and Hiroshima. I mean, there's lasting effects that they still have to this day of that area. I think Nagasaki is just now to where they can actually start populating the area again.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Something like that.
The problem with the nuclear bombing of Japan is that's definitely something.
The war.
Well, it's the fact that that's something you can Monday night quarterback.
True.
Because the fact that there are some people, I think at that point in history and now, will say, well, we didn't have to do it. So that is such a...
I'm not saying that we didn't have to do it. I'm saying
I just think it's one of those things in history where it was definitely a fast end of the war, but there's other people who say, oh, it would have... We didn't have to do that. So it's one of those parts in history that is a very interesting conversation when you have both sides that are incredibly intelligent on it. Which I'm not on either side.
I'm not going to... I'll agree with you.
You know, because there's so many fine minutia points on that particular argument, on that conversation, whether it was appropriate if we bombed Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
I think, from my standpoint and my belief, I think that it was appropriate. I think it was a very difficult decision, and I think we made the right call. If you look at... how many people had suffered and died up to that point, and what we were looking at through our island hopping campaign, I think it was the right choice. That's where I stand on it.
Yeah, I mean, I really don't know. I mean, that's a really...
It is a really difficult thing, because if how many suffered from it, the residual effects of it still to this day.
Well, the same thing...
But I think all in all, I mean, Japan's already doing their own... damage to the freaking Earth.
I mean, the same things happen with Agent Orange, though. There's a lot of Vietnamese that from what I've heard and read, that have issues from that. Mm. A lot of Americans still do, too. And they're children.
Yeah, I'm not arguing.
So have you guys been paying attention to any of the movies that are in theaters?
No.
Bohemian Rhapsody,
you know what?
Has gotten really good reviews.
Hmm. Yeah, that's what I've heard. I've known a couple of people that have gone to see it that said it was fantastic.
The new
I just caught the fucking Meg on DVD.
Nice. And?
Yeah, it was... Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I didn't buy it. I fucking rented it on Amazon. I'm a sucker for a big shark movie, and I was really looking forward to a bad, good shark movie, or a good, bad shark movie.
I totally know.
This was bad, bad.
It got a 5.8 rating.
It's bad, bad. It's not... It doesn't get into the realm of
question
where it transcends back into good yet.
So the question is and between the scale, is it better than Deep Blue Sea with LL Cool J?
No, that movie was good bad. That's what I meant. You know, I mean, like that's one of those that falls into the this is so bad that it's good. You know, and there's sharks.
So on the scale,
have something like Sharknado, that's meant to be bad.
So on the on the scale of Jaws and Mako Jaws of Death, where does it land?
I don't think he's seen Mako Jaws of Death.
I like that scale.
Thank
probably,
you.
About two notches above Mako. I'm trying to think what would be really between it. Deep Blue Sea sort of being like the middle of the road. Open Water being like an 8 or a 9.
God. By the way, Deep Blue Sea...
Or not open water, what do you call it? The Shallows, I think.
Oh, God.
By the way, Deep Blue Sea has the worst freaking soundtrack ever. the title song is, and it was Deepest Blues, and fucking LL Cool J repeats that and repeats that. I thought That Thing You Do was bad. Wrong!
Hey, That Thing You Do is awesome.
I actually like the movie, but after the 12th time of hearing the dun dun dun, it's like, yeah, I get annoyed. Like, I've seen it a lot, so after a while, the first couple of, you know, hits, I'm like, off. I still want to see Venom. That has a 7.0 rating, which I think is...
probably decent.
Yeah.
That's pretty admirable, actually, for that kind of movie.
And especially being kind of a superhero movie, which I think a lot of people are kind of burned out of. I am super curious of the new Grinch movie. It has a 6.3 rating.
Yeah, that's the one with Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. All right. All right. Oh, shit. They're making a new Johnny English movie? Wow.
You know what? I wasn't that big of a fan of those in the first place.
I wasn't.
I think Rowan Atkinson might be a bit of an acquired taste. I never really acquired.
Teacher, I totally agree. Some stuff Mr. Bean did, like, I can actually see how... I can see why people would like him. He just doesn't scratch any comedic
itch. I think John just called you sensei.
Well, some characters that he's done have been fantastic. I liked the Black Adder. That was funny.
And
a couple of the other characters that he's done have been good, but I'm not a Mr. Bean fan. Yeah, Rat Race.
Rat Race, he did great.
I'm not a Mr. Bean fan, and Johnny English was a little bit better, a little more into that Peter Sellers realm that I like, not just that, fucking goofy faces.
I think that's a stretch.
No, I'm not interested in any of the Mr. Bean stuff. Like I said, Rat Race is about the only one that I've ever liked him in.
I can legitimately see why people like him. He doesn't scratch the comedic itch for me at all. But I can
Have you seen Black Adder?
Me?
Probably at some point.
I don't know. I can't say I have.
Okay, just look up random clips of Black Adder, and you'll probably get a kick out of it. It's definitely something else. But he's a really smart dude, and I can't deny the genius of that dude's comedy. It's just, man, one of those things that I just can't get into.
Wow. So a couple of ones that I think is interesting. December 19th. This is going back to Real Flix Reviews territory. Mary Poppins, December 19th, 2018, is coming back.
Emily Blunt.
See, here is... this is the issue I have. And it's because... part of it is the fact that when I was a kid, I watched Mary Poppins. I watched all these older 1960s Disney movies. So there's a romanticism about older Disney movies to me. So this to me, is either going to be amazing or it's going to be burnt at the stake. There's really no in between for me on a lot of these.
It'll probably be pretty good. Disney's had a pretty fucking good track record with their tentpole shit.
I hope so, because literally it's either going to be amazing or Joan of Arc.
Well, I mean, all they have to do is just almost redo that movie and everyone's going to be happy. What they shouldn't do is go from like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory to Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Yeah, but
or honestly, Willy Wonka, whatever, with Johnny fucking Depp.
The problem is the person.
Don't do something like that.
The problem is the person who directed it and the person he picked. At this point, Johnny Depp has done too many drugs or is slightly brain damaged, because all his characters are the same thing at this point.
He drank too much rum.
Well, I've got some good news in the realm of nonfiction.
Okay.
Leonardo DiCaprio is going to play H.H. Holmes.
Really?
That'll be interesting.
Yeah. I'm excited.
I mean, I didn't really like Django Unchained, but I liked his role in it.
Get out of here.
I liked his role in it.
I'm curious.
Wait a minute. Back the fuck up where you just said something crazy.
He didn't like Django Unchained?
I mean, I didn't, in the span of all the movies that, you know, you got Waltz in and why am I drawing a blank on Tarantino films? I don't think it's one of his best ones, but I think it's up there. But in the scale of those things, anyways, it really wasn't that great. But I think actually,
I kind of agree with James. It was not my favorite Tarantino movie.
But I really liked DiCaprio in that one. I really didn't like Samuel Jackson in it, but I liked DiCaprio.
Oh, I love Sam Jackson in that movie.
Yeah, I didn't really.
I liked Sam Jackson, did not like DiCaprio. But he's also, I must attest, I've never been a fan of his.
DiCaprio?
Yeah, I've never really liked him.
He's got his moments.
Mm. Man, he's had a lot of great moments lately.
I didn't like him. I didn't even like him when he was, you know, co-starring with Candace Cameron's brother, so.
What?
Look it up. He was...
I won't.
He was in a TV show with Kirk Cameron. I just don't remember the name of it at this point. I don't know. I've never really been a big fan. But the H.H. Holmes, the question is, how are they going to do it? Because they're going to have to do it right, I think, in order to get the evilness of that particular
character. I think they're gonna go with the fantastical version of it because the story itself is pretty fantastical. You know, like a lot of the fucking lore comes from old pulp fucking magazines and things like that from like 20 years later. So it's hard to parse the fact from the legend. I think they're gonna go straight up legend.
I mean it's like gonna be The Butcher with Johnny Depp. I just hope there's no singing.
I must not remember that one. You're expecting a response. I got nothing.
You don't remember the film that Johnny Depp did with the Fleet Street Butcher?
The one.
Oh, you're talking about Sweeney Todd. Okay, I didn't catch the reference there.
Wow. You couldn't put that together.
Well, you said Butcher. I'm thinking, what the fuck was he a butcher in?
The Sweeney Todd film?
Yeah, well, you know, Demon Barber of Fleet Street, you know, any one of those words would have got me there.
You're getting slow in your old age.
I mean, you know, just it was an obscure choice of words.
Right. Okay. Anyways, I just hope there's no singing. That's all I got to
say.
I knew you live in obscurity.
Growing Pains.
Oh, God.
Leonardo DiCaprio was in Growing Pains?
Ding, 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 ding. Oh. That is correct. Wow. It was on the later part of the series.
Oh, yeah. Fucking watch fucking Growing Pains.
Hey, I loved it as a kid, so fuck off.
Well, you're the one.
Of course, when you were a kid...
Sorry, that's an old joke.
Of course, when you were a kid, it wasn't on, so...
I had like Full House and Home Improvement.
Shit, I remember watching Family Ties when it was new.
Back when Pamela Anderson was hot.
Definitely not now.
Step by Step. If we're just naming old TV shows.
Car 54, where are you? Have you seen Pamela Anderson? She looks like a fucking catcher's mitt.
Dude, she's been used and abused.
And that's all stuff she's done to herself. That poor woman looks horrible. Even Jenny McCarthy at this point still looks attractive.
What the hell brought that on? What are we, a fucking gossip column?
Home Improvement.
Home Improvement.
She was the original Pamela two-time Anderson? Girl.
Wasn't she in four episodes of that?
No, she was in the first couple years.
Yeah.
I don't even think she was in that long.
I think she was in there for at least the first year.
Motherfuckers, I just closed IMDb.
That ain't my fault.
But yeah, no, she was in at least the first or second season, I thought. Then at some point they got in the...
They went to Heidi.
Yes. I was trying to remember her real name, but I didn't remember. So do you like the movie Abyss, Ryan? Mm-hmm.
The one from, like, the, what was that, the 70s?
80s.
Was it the 80s?
Yeah.
You know what? I can only remember that movie in pieces. I think I saw the first, like, three quarters of it maybe a few times and then barely saw the ending, like, years later.
So 1989.
And the ending kind of changed my whole perspective of it, so.
Yeah, because James and I were talking last week of, like, kind of cartoons that could turn into live action because they're still trying to do... A Johnny Quest, which at this point is a fairly obscure cartoon series, because Johnny Quest was only on for 1 year in the 1960s.
And yeah, it had like 16 episodes or something.
And it was kicked off the air because of how violent it really was. And so we were thinking of what they could do, and I was thinking they could do like a C-Lab 2020, because it's another obscure.
Oh, yeah.
Or 2021 if you want to make the comedy.
Fuck possible. That. Give me a live-action Harvey Birdman attorney at law.
So, okay, do you know what the Birdman show actually... Do you ever watch the original Birdman cartoon?
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah.
So I was saying, because they could do like the C-Lab 2020, but the problem is the Abyss was pretty much it, minus the fact there were no aliens in it.
Right.
So that was part of the conversation. James and I were thinking of what obscure cartoons that they could do. And so I was wondering, are there any obscure cartoons from your childhood, granted you're younger than us, that you think that they could do? And my first thought, the other thought was Centurions. I think they could easily do that.
Dude, first of all, I'm just excited that somebody else aside from me just mentioned Centurions. I fucking loved that show.
Man and Machine, Power, Extreme.
Fuck, yeah. The different specialties and then the different suits based on what they were doing. Fucking awesome.
My favorite thing was the names. Hold on. The names of the characters.
Yeah, it was like Hank McCloud or something.
It was hilarious.
And I think that was the pilot guy.
And then the weirdest one to me was the Native American dude. They just, towards the end of the series, they threw in this random Native American dude, and he's all dressed up. And instead of, like, you know, a normal person, he's dressed up stereotypically. It's like, damn.
Well, that's how you know he's Indian.
So here's the characters. Max Ray, guess what he does?
Yeah, that's the sea guy.
He's a brilliant sea operations commander. Jake Rockwell, rugged land operations specialist. Ace McCloud.
There it is, Ace McCloud. Okay, I knew it was close.
Daring air operations expert. Rex Charger. This is the last, these are the last two were added in the end of the series. And my favorite one, actually the Indian guy was actually a really cool character. John Thunder, specialist infiltration commando. Has a... And one of his weapons was a giant fucking bow and arrow. And even as a kid, I'm thinking, seriously? Even I'm somewhat insulted at this.
It still is not as bad as the Captain Planet.
Well, Captain...
The Indian guy gets hurt.
Well, Captain Planet was hilarious. Because even as a kid, I loved Captain Planet as a kid, but even as a kid, I'm like, really? I get it. Save the planet. But come on. And I love the PSAs at the end.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to save the planet...
Recycle.
Exactly. I don't know.
That was separate funny. Your aluminums from your plastics.
Or they had that, the what was it, the Russian chick, and the New York kid. Russian? Нет. Soviet. And at that point, I don't think the Soviet Union was around. And the first, at least the first two seasons, you had Whoopi Goldberg playing Gaia, the spirit of the earth.
Oh, God, yeah. Good God.
That was Whoopi Goldberg?
Yeah.
At least for one season, I'm almost positive it was. I'm not looking it up, it's just off the top of my head.
Don't worry, nobody expects us to be correct on any of this.
I'm almost positive I'm correct. God, I keep trying to think of, so any obscure cartoons you can think of?
No.
No, not necessarily. I've been disappointed in everything they've ever brought back in my childhood.
The other thing I really wouldn't mind would be like a SWAT Cats CG cartoon.
SWAT Cats, yeah.
Because that
bonkers.
Oh, dude, I loved that show as a kid.
I like bonkers, yeah.
I don't know if I could stand it now, but as a kid, that it fucking rocked. Yes.
Fucking Freakazoid.
Yeah, so... Oh, shit. LeVar Burton played Kami. Whoopi Goldberg was Gaia.
I don't recognize anybody else.
Yeah, there's the only people I can tell. Wow. That's hilarious. Hold on.
That's weird. I didn't know that was LeVar Burton.
Neither did I. I don't know. I'm so tired of this live action cartoon conversion because it just hasn't been. Ha!
Well, you know, look, I mean, you have to understand they're obviously not for us.
I want to see a Pirates of Dark Water live-action movie. I doubt you know what that is. I used to watch it as a kid. I guess that's a no from Ryan.
Yeah.
Hello.
What's that?
A Pirates of Dark Water live action.
Never seen it.
I didn't think so.
I don't know. I think they just
I have Black Sails. That's pretty much my be all end all.
Well, the weirdest thing, so if I remember the Pirates of Blackwater, or whatever the fuck it called, basically there was this weird substance covering the earth, and there was these gems you had to find that helped clear off this black goop, and it was a fairly interesting story that they never actually finished. Kind of like the story of the reboot of the Thundercats. It just kind of died in the vine.
It happens.
I don't know. That didn't sound interesting to me. I watched some cartoons, but that I didn't want to watch all of them.
I've watched a ton of cartoons as a kid. Matter of fact, I still do. So I'm not...
Yeah, me too.
So a lot of the cartoons I know of, honestly, Ryan's one of the few people that I can mention cartoons, and he knows what they are. Like, I just purchased... oh, God, what was the recent cartoon? I purchased... oh, God damn it. What was it called? Hold on, let me boot up my Plex server. So I bought...
Well, while you're thinking of that, what I've been looking for a while has been the Flintstones Comedy Hour. That was the one where it was almost like sketch comedy for the Flintstones, and the kids were growing up, and they lived next to, like, the Franken-Rocks.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
Or the Frankenstones. Why the fuck would I say Franken-Rock? Frankenstones.
Because you're thinking of Fraggle Rock?
So
probably.
So I recently bought the Herculoids.
Oh, hell yeah. I love the Herculoids. That fucking rhino that shot shit out of his face.
Yeah, so right now...
And that was... What was the name of the gelatinous orb thing?
Gloop and Gleep.
Gloop and Gleep, right. Okay, so here's part of the reason is I want the Flintstones comedy half hour is the Shmoo was in there. You guys know about the Shmoo?
Oh, God, the creepiest character of all cartoons, because this...
Fucking of all time, the incredible edible Shmoo.
It's fucking creepy as hell. He's happy when he's being digested. He's the fucking character.
Yeah, well, that's
from
the
Star
old
Wars.
One. This in the Flintstones so one, they brought him back not to eat him, but just really to like use him for whatever they wanted because he can turn into any shape just to make you happy.
So
fucking ridiculous.
So the other ones I bought was the Valley of the Dinosaurs, Thundar.
Ooh.
Hell yeah. I have the 1960s Scooby Doo. Minus the one where they had all the famous people in it because you can't buy all of them. I have...
Oh, you can't get the Scooby-Doo meets Korn?
No, it's like Scooby-Doo meets Jonathan Twinners, Scooby-Doo meets... Because some of the rights are owned by different people, so you can't actually watch all of them. So I have, like, I bought the first season of Jetsons. I have the Yogi Bear.
Wow.
So I have, like, all these... Well, what it is like, Saturday morning cartoons don't exist. Because, A, I don't have cable. I don't have an OT over-the-air antenna. So I'm buying all these cartoons so I can make Saturday morning cartoons for my kid. And I control the fucking content. So I know he's not going to watch something that's stupid or ridiculous or something that's quasi-questionable.
Well...
which is all a Cartoon Network.
Yeah, but, I mean, also, I mean, there is a definitely a generation gap. I mean, you know, we all definitely kind of grew up on some of our parents' shit. Just look at the music that we're all into. But,
I don't listen to
you know, there's stuff that's going to be, you know, for that generation, for the kids with fucking iPads. You know, a lot of those references from Yogi Bear, they're not going to get.
Yeah, but my son's going to watch that. Matter of fact, I think I have the first season of Darkwing Duck, too. It's not on there.
Yeah, I got that.
Yeah, I just like the fact because my son's 2 years old. I like the fact that when he gets older, I have the ability to at least have stuff that's not questionable. Because some of the cartoons out now are just for under a certain age, it's inappropriate. And granted,
well, that's okay. You're
it,
looking
it
at it from
me.
None of us ever watched Bugs Bunny and got all the double entendres and the innuendos, you know?
I got most of them actually. Even as a little kid, they weren't overly disguised.
What's wrong with the knuckle draggers?
Yeah, I don't know. I like being able to control the content, plus the fact it's actually decent stories. It's not like Gumball, which is a ridiculous cartoon. Granted, none of this stuff's for me, but I'm picky. So I will at least want to curate my son's taste to some degree.
Yeah, well, there's nothing wrong with sharing what you love. You know what I mean? I mean, there's nothing wrong with fucking raising your kid that you fucking want, obviously. You know, yeah, you don't want to push on it too hard and have him fucking hate these things when he's older.
Oh, yeah. I mean, plus the fact at some point my son's going to get into anime, which I'm quasi-looking forward to. Except for the fact he's like, hey, Dad, I want to watch this. You're grounded.
Your kid's going to walk in one day and be like, Akira sucks, Dad.
I could actually justify that conversation
either way.
Or
come walking in with Dark City in his hand.
And so's Initial D, and Cowboy Bebop is lame.
Honestly, he can say it's lame. He just can't argue against the fucking soundtrack. Because, A, it's the best soundtrack of any anime, period. I have the fucking soundtrack. Last time I saw it for sale, it was $80. So all you can fuck off.
Yeah, the kid that I work with is constantly trying to sell me on a bunch of different anime. To be fair, he's got good taste, but...
like, what anime?
Yeah, what was the one he was trying to sell me on? Shit.
So what do you think about...
Well, Ghost in the Shell, he's been selling pretty hard lately. Fist of the Firefly is one that he wanted me to watch. Ooh. I don't know if you've seen that.
The Firefly? It's the old one, right?
I
don't know.
Yeah, that fucking anime is sad. Because it's a movie.
That's what I understand, yeah.
Yeah, no. I would not... Personally, I would not recommend watching it. That is a sad fucking cartoon.
Well, I mean, I'm not against... I was warned that it was sad, but he said it was good.
So, no, Grave of the Fireflies is excellent.
Yeah. Grave of the Firefly, that's what it is.
But it is one of the fucking saddest animes I've ever seen. What you want... You should watch Perfect Blue if you want to watch a really weird...
God, don't watch Perfect Blue. That's a shit anime.
Well, actually, Ryan might appreciate it. I know you wouldn't, but Ryan
it's
might
stupid.
Actually...
It's stupid. I own it. It's a piece of trash. Don't waste your time on it.
So the question, Ryan, who are you going to trust? James or the guy who's watched... Or somebody like me who's watched a ton of anime?
See, James knows exactly how picky I am on anime in the first fucking place. James curates my anime pretty decently.
Well, Paranoia agent.
Well, the question is, who got James in the anime? Because it's me.
That's my point, is he has to filter that shit from you. You would tell me to watch 10,000 things. James will tell me to watch 10.
Well, do me a favor. Watch a clip of Perfect Blue. That's all I say. Watch it, because that's pretty much kind of the way I do it. I'll watch a clip of it and see if I like it. But I've also got Crunchyroll and a couple other things, but...
Yeah, go watch Paranoia Agent.
There's the only problem with anime.
You'll like that one, right?
The only problem with anime that they think it's funny is being an adult, there's things I just don't notice because it doesn't faze me. One of my, an anime I really enjoy, it's called, Is It Okay to Pick Up Girls in a Dungeon? And it's a really amazing story. I love the story, but half the characters have boobs hanging out. And I just didn't fucking notice.
Well, what do you think when you read the title? Of course it's going to be the panty anime shit.
Well, no, there's like no panty shots.
But it's the same concept. I mean, that's really what they're
going. No, panty shots to me are annoying and I wouldn't watch it.
What is the name of that stupid anime style?
But
there's a name for it.
You know, a lot of fairly almost naked characters, and I never noticed because cartoons don't do anything for me. I'm not fucking 12. I just think it's funny. But watch a clip of it, and let me know what you think. Because at the time when I first saw it, I thought it was good. I haven't watched it since. So, ladies and gentlemen, for Jonathan Charney, James Stevens, and Ryan Preston, as always.